Hello and welcome to today's The Weight Mates podcast, the place for sustainable and comfortable weight loss practices and stories. I'm your host, Christopher. So welcome to episode number 16. And first off, I have a couple of announcements I want to make just to get that out of the way. Thank you to everyone that was listening to the podcast over the past week or so. It is super, super appreciated. And honestly, the amount of support I'm receiving is incredible. Thank you so much. On top of that, you know, if you need a weight loss coach that has your best interests at heart, please go over to www.patreon.com/theweightmates or shoot me an email over on christopher@theweightmates.com in order to get yourself one of those weight loss coaches that really cares about you. The basic coaching package starts at 40 euros per month, which makes it the perfect deal for personalized one-on-one coaching that you will definitely not find anywhere else. So yeah, if you want that, feel free to check that out. And then final announcement, a large amount of the information that I'm going to be talking about today comes from a website called helpguide.org, which is a nonprofit organization focused on helping as many people as possible, which really aligns with the way the Weight Mates feels about helping people. So if you want to show your support the way that I've done, please head over to www.helpguide.org in order to donate some money to their cause. So beyond that, grab yourself a glass of water or some kind of low-calorie drink so that you can really enjoy this podcast without sabotaging your weight loss journey. For me, I've chosen a nice warm cup of tea today because that always makes me feel happy on a Monday morning. So yeah, that really works for me. So today we're going to talk about emotional eating, right? It's a big problem and it's something you sometimes hear stuff about, but it's not something that is taken super seriously. And I think that's mainly because people just think you're kind of bullshitting, I suppose. But quite on the contrary, you're not bullshitting. It's an actual medical problem that is just not getting the attention it needs. So hopefully I can shed a little bit of light on it today to, you know, to help people out that are in this situation. Because I know for a fact that when I was researching the information for this episode, there is a lot of moments in my life, even recently, where I would have, you know, applied to some of the criteria for emotional eating. But, you know, enough of that for now. What even is emotional eating, right? So emotional eating is something that occurs when you are eating food or drinking a drink, I suppose, in order to either comfort yourself or to reward yourself, right? It's a mechanism to make us feel better about ourselves. And so this can be used when you're feeling down or stressed or anxious or bored or lonely. But on the contrary, it can also be used to, you know, reward yourself when you've done something great or when the holidays come around, right? That's a big moment where people go, you know, oh, it's the holidays, I can have all this food. But what you see is that more often than not, most people have experienced some form of emotional eating simply because they have either grabbed a piece of food when they had a stressful day at work, right? Quickly going by the McDonald's drive-in, right? You know, and it's not something that we actively think about. And to be honest, it's not something that we start at some point. It's something that usually 9 out of 10 times comes from your childhood, right? Where, you know, your parents, you know, they could give you some sweets, which, you know, it was to reward you for doing something good, or like getting a good report card or a good grade or whatever. And equally, parents might have given their child cookies in order to soothe them when they're crying, right? When they've fallen over or they scrape their arm or whatever, you know. And so food often is used as a form either of comfort or of reward, right? And that can start really early on. So definitely don't feel like you've started this recently or anything like that, because there's a good chance that this has been going on for years, if not decades, right? So what are the exact criteria for emotional eating, right? Because there's a certain set of criteria that you kind of need to that you need to hear to be able to determine with yourself, hey, do I emotionally eat, right? And so I've just put those criteria on a nice little list, because, you know, I could talk for ages about that, but I'm just gonna list them out. So the first one is, do you eat when feeling stressed, right? So you've had a stressful day at work and you come home and instead of having a proper dinner with enough vegetables and meat and potato, you tend to have some cookies before dinner and some cookies after dinner or some ice cream after dinner, and you kind of that's kind of what you use to fill yourself up. The next criteria is, do you eat when you're not hungry or when you're full, right? If that's the case, then, you know, you're likely emotionally eating. Also, do you eat to feel better? Do you reward yourself with food? Do you regularly eat until you've completely stuffed yourself, right? Here's a good one. Does food make you feel safe, right? Does it feel like a friend? Almost like it's this little comfort buddy, right? And then the last criteria is, do you feel powerless or out of control around food? And maybe even specific types of food, right? Usually the savory, salty snacks or the really sweet snacks tend to, well, at least give me quite a feeling of being out of control. So if you feel like you apply to any of those criteria, there's a good chance that you are suffering from this emotional eating thing, right? So if that's the case, why does it make us eat? What is the difference between that emotional hunger and that physical hunger, right? Because obviously those are two very different things, but why and how? So again, there's a couple of aspects here that you can really look at in order to determine whether you're physically hungry or emotionally hungry, right? Because emotional hunger tends to come on suddenly when something has just happened and all of a sudden you're hungry. Whereas physical hunger comes on much more slowly and gradually throughout the day, right? That's the first one. The second one is very much related to the first one, and that is that emotional hunger feels like it needs to be satisfied instantly, right? In the here and now. You must now go to the fridge and grab yourself something, right? Whereas physical hunger can wait. Even though it's not nice to have to wait in order for you to quell your physical hunger, it can if it has to, right? Then on top of that, the emotional hunger is, like I said just now, emotional hunger craves specific foods, right? So things like chips or nachos or candy or ice cream or anything of the kind, that is all very much emotional hunger foods, right? Because they make you feel better, because there's lots of sugars, lots of fats, which makes your body feel very content with itself, which, you know, kind of goes around this cycle, which I'll get back to in just a second. And then physical hunger is actually open to lots of foods, right? If you're really physically hungry, even if you don't like broccoli, you will happily eat a plate of broccoli because you are actually hungry and you must get this food inside of you, right? So, you know, that is one of those big differences there. And then another criteria is that emotional hunger isn't satisfied on a full stomach, right? When you're full, your emotional hunger can keep going. And I definitely relate with that one because physical hunger stops when you're full, right? So there have been plenty of moments in my life where I've had a bag of crisps, right? One of those big bags, and I was eating and eating and I was getting so full, but I don't know, it just feels like you can't stop, right? It feels like you're completely out of control. You have to finish the bag. And that, you know, when that happens, you're likely emotionally eating, right? And then the last one, the last difference between emotional hunger and physical hunger is that when you are emotionally eating, it triggers a feeling of guilt, powerlessness, and shame, right? When you're done, you feel almost disgusted with yourself because you're like, I shouldn't have had all that food. I am sabotaging my weight loss journey. What's going on, right? Whereas physical hunger doesn't make you feel bad about yourself because, you know, rightfully so, you're thinking to yourself, well, that was nice because I was hungry, I had food, now I'm not hungry anymore, right? Great. And especially on this last one where I said, you know, emotional hunger triggers this feeling of shame and guilt and powerlessness, that's where kind of the cycle starts, right? That's where this vicious cycle starts of emotional eating. And there's four steps to that cycle, which is essentially, you know, something happens, right? Something that upsets you happens. Then you feel an overwhelming urge to eat, right? And then you eat more than you should, right? More than you know you should. And then after that, you instantly feel guilty and powerless over food, right? And that kind of goes round in circles and circles and circles. And that's usually how most people gain weight, right? And sometimes even get so bad, and I've been there, it gets so bad to the point where the last step of feeling guilty and powerless actually becomes the initiator of the first step, right? Where the feeling of guilt and powerlessness is the event that makes you upset and makes you eat more, right? So it's a really tricky thing to deal with, but you're not alone, right? There is stuff that you can do in order to work on this, in order to do it less and less. I'm just going to take a sip of my tea because my voice is very dry. So how do you actually work on this, right? Well, first off, it's good to learn to identify your emotional triggers, right? So imagine you're all of a sudden feeling very hungry, and you're already walking over to the cupboard or to the fridge to grab something. I want you to then stop yourself and think, what just happened that caused me to be hungry all of a sudden? Is it stress? You know, am I stuffing away the emotions because I don't want to deal with them, right? Am I bored or lonely? Or are there other people around me that are eating and so I feel the need to eat as well? If you do that, you will automatically become more aware of when your body tries to go into this emotional eating binge, right? So try to do that, right? Try to stop for a second and kind of just go, okay, what's going on? Then additionally, you know, you can kind of combine that with an emotional eating diary, right? If you can write down either in your phone or in an actual diary, if you can write down, I was hungry, but then I stopped for 30 seconds and I kind of realized how I was feeling inside, right? Besides the hunger, how my actual mood was. And I then identified this one thing that happened that caused my mood to switch to this new mood, right? If you can do that, you can very quickly, within days, you can start seeing which kind of situations trigger the emotional eating, right? So that might be a very good way. If you like to write stuff, that might be a very good way for you to start getting a hold of your emotional eating cycle. And then another way to start dealing with those emotions is to start feeding your feelings in a different way, right? So instead of grabbing for food when you are feeling a particular way, you might want to just try something else. So for example, when you're lonely or depressed, you could either call someone, right? That makes you feel better. Or you could play with a pet if you have one. You could even play with a goldfish because, I don't know, goldfish are pretty cool. Or you could go out and get some fresh air, right? Fresh air does, honestly, it does miracles. My mother always used to say that when I was younger, I didn't get enough fresh air because, well, to be fair, I loved playing games on the computer. And I didn't believe her then. I didn't believe her 2 or 3 years ago, but I definitely believe her today. When I feel upset and I go outside for a bit of fresh air, oh man, I feel so much better. Even if it's just for 2 or 3 minutes. Just, you know, deeply inhaling fresh air is just, it's so good. It really makes you feel happier. Then if you're anxious, you could expend the nervous energy of feeling anxious by, you know, dancing to your favorite song. And trust me, I'm not a big dancer, but I can sure as hell swing along to a bit of Wham or George Michael or anything of the kind. Because, you know, in the end, if it's just me in my office, who's going to know, right? Who cares that I'm dancing to a song, right? Who cares that I'm really, really bad at dancing to songs? It's just me, right? It makes me feel better, so who cares, right? Additionally, what you can also do is you can sing along to your favorite songs. Again, I'm not great at that, but I love doing it. Or you could squeeze in a stress ball, or you could start doing a bit of exercise. In my personal experience, exercise is a great way to get rid of some of that emotional tension inside your body, especially when you're angry or upset. Doing exercise kind of gets this, you know, this adrenaline rushing through your body, right? Because you are, you know, you're really tensing up your muscles and you're really doing something, right? So I would definitely recommend doing some strength exercises if you're feeling anxious or when you're feeling sad or angry, because my God, it's a great way to deal with your emotions in that sense. If you're exhausted, right, which also happens quite a bit, you know, take a bath or light some scented candles or, you know, treat yourself to some warm coffee or tea like I have now. This tea is lovely. And, you know, I feel like those things definitely help me when I'm feeling exhausted. And it kind of reinvigorates your body with some new energy, right? And then the last one, if you're bored, read a good book, watch maybe a comedy or something. I would recommend anything from Ricky Gervais to Daniel Sloss to anyone else, really. Any other British comedian is great, in my opinion. Or, you know, maybe just get into a hobby that you know very little about, right? Whether that's learning an instrument or a new sport or maybe something creative like photography, all of it is worth it because, in the end, having a hobby to do when you're feeling bored is always a great way to stay busy, right? And it's a great way to avoid boredom. So those are some things that, some alternative ways in which you can feed your feelings. Then let's move on to the long run, right? Because those, what I just named, those are more, you know, in the moment solutions, right? They're not things that you can kind of do in the long run that will help you out. So in the long run, I think there's something different and more important to acknowledge than simply knowing that you are emotionally eating. Instead, you might think that you feel powerless over food, but I think in reality, you feel powerless over your emotions, right? You feel like you can't properly deal with your emotions because they might just be too much to deal with, right? So even though I definitely understand where you're coming from and that it can be incredibly difficult to deal with your emotions, I've actually found that when you don't suppress or obsess over your emotions, right, you can actually deal with them relatively easily, even if it seems really scary, right? Because I definitely understand that when you're feeling really upset or really depressed, it can be extra scary to then, you know, actively start thinking about the depressed feeling or the sad feeling, because, you know, it might become this cycle of becoming even sadder or even more depressed, right? But, you know, I personally think, and this kind of brings me to the personal key tip that I really want to share with you guys. The next time that you feel depressed or stressed or lonely or anxious or any of the other feelings that I mentioned, make sure to stop, acknowledge the feeling, and understand what is making you feel that way, right? Then check to see if there's anything you can do to change how you feel in the moment, right? Is there anything in that moment that you can change about the situation which is causing your mood? If there is, go do that thing. If there isn't, then you need to acknowledge that as well and then keep moving, right? Because honestly, you know, and this helped me a lot when dealing with the breakup that I went through. If you acknowledge your feelings and if you acknowledge that in the moment there's not much you can do about changing what happened or changing what's going to happen, then you're actually giving your emotions a place, right? Instead of stuffing them all into your backpack, you are giving it a place. And that's really useful because, and I've experienced this quite a few times, when you keep stuffing your emotions away, you are going to reach a boiling point. And that boiling point looks different for each individual person. Some people get really angry and some people get really depressed, amongst a whole host of other emotions that can happen. But that doesn't happen when you give your emotions a place, right? Especially because when you acknowledge them, you don't end up thinking about them all day, right? When you're feeling sad and you think to yourself, okay, I'm feeling sad, and that might be because, I don't know, my boyfriend or girlfriend said something and I didn't like it or whatever. And then you can kind of go like, okay, yeah, that did make me feel sad and I'll talk to them later about it, right? But then after that, you can kind of stop focusing so much on feeling sad because you know what made you feel sad. Okay? I hope that makes sense. I feel like this is just a very important thing to note. Because in the long run, you want to regain that control over your emotions so that you regain control over your emotional eating, right? Which you want to minimize to as much as possible, right? So yeah, so if you want to work on your controlling your emotions and your emotional eating, make sure to acknowledge your feeling, make sure to acknowledge what is making you feel that way, and then find an appropriate response to that, right? Like I just mentioned, you know, call someone, dance to your favorite song, light some scented candles or read a good book for all the different versions of emotions that, you know, that are out there. Then additionally, because we're slowly running to an end of an already pretty long episode, but I'm happy it's this long because I feel like it needs proper time to talk about the issue of emotional eating. So additionally, there's some extra tips and tricks that I want to share with you to make sure that, you know, there's more things you can do in order to stop yourself from emotional eating. So the first thing is to try and get some movement in every single day, right? It doesn't matter if it's an hour or 5 minutes or anything of the kind, right? But it will just help you feel so much more energized. And it can significantly reduce stress levels too, right? If you're just, even if it's just 30 seconds, right? If you just quickly run down from your apartment to go grab some mail or whatever, you know, that will already be some nice exercise to do, and it'll just make you feel so much better, okay? Then additionally, aim for 8 hours of sleep every single night, because when you don't get your sleep, your body starts craving sugar, because guess what? It needs energy, because it wasn't able to recharge properly overnight, okay? Then the third thing that I would recommend is make some time for relaxation. This is so important. I so often hear people say, I don't have time to read a book. I don't have time to start a new hobby. I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. But in reality, there is 16 hours in a day, right? If you're sleeping 8 hours, that relieves 16 awake hours in a day. Surely you can find 15, 20, 30 minutes in those 16 hours in which you can do something, right? Or are you genuinely busy for each and every one of those 16 hours? I think that's a good question to ask yourself. Because you also deserve some time to recharge your batteries, right? Try and read a book before going to bed, 30 minutes, right? Even if that means you only sleep 7.5 hours, it still means you made a little bit of time for you, okay? And that's important as well. And then the last thing that I want to mention as an extra tip or trick is connect with others, right? You know, somewhat frequent social interaction can be super important to protect yourself from stress, right? So, and I just want to note, if you don't have anyone to connect with, feel free to connect with me, right? I'd be happy to have a chat and to shoot you a DM back and all that kind of stuff. Just shoot me a DM over on @theweightmates on Instagram or Twitter, and I'd be happy to be a form of social interaction for you. So that kind of concludes everything that I had in my notes, and also the things that I had in my head and not on my notes. And honestly, I just hope that it helps with your weight loss journey. I want to thank you very much for listening, and I hope that you have a great day.